Captain, first of all, I'll just let you explain this lawsuit because it's very strange, and I just want to take it in. So tell me, what's going on here?
Okay, it has nothing to do with me other than that fact that I'm bringing the lawsuit, but in the time frame, December 6th of 06 through December 10th of 06, I took in so much new information on top of 5.5 years of my own research regarding 9/11, which I started due to the fact that the captain of American 77, which allegedly hit the Pentagon, was a college classmate of mine. His name was Captain Chick Burlingame, and we were graduates of the U.S. Naval Academy's class of 1971. The amount of information I had grew vastly in volume and also became more sensitive because I learned that some parts, specifically QRS-11 gyrochips, were installed in 100-plus Boeing airplanes. And so rather than cause alarm, I decided after I verified the information as well as I could that I would start with an Air Force command, which is Northern Command. It used to be called NORAD, and I contacted them on December 9th. I contacted an airline company on December 10th. I contacted ALPA, the Airlines Pilots Association, on December 11th. And I contacted another military organization, which now really is not germane to this. They have nothing to do with, they were not in a position to prevent anything from happening. However, here it is, March 7th, and I've heard nothing of significance from the company or from the Air Force or from ALPA, the pilots union. And I think it's significant to point out here, in deference to the comment that I might be crazy, that when I did contact a very nice gentleman at the ALPA, the union headquarters, the man that's in charge of safety and security issues, I just had three questions for him, and they were very easy to understand questions. He was very helpful and professional. My first question was, does ALPA know what a QRS-11 gyrochip is? The answer was yes. I said, does ALPA know if any or how many may be installed on Boeing aircraft? The answer was no. I asked him if ALPA understood the full range of capacity and performance of the QRS-11 gyrochip. The answer was no. Since that time, I've also contacted the director of the FBI. That contact was made on February 13th with a request that I get to speak to a highly placed representative as soon as possible, whether it's in Washington or anywhere else. I traveled to meet with him. I've heard nothing. On February 23rd, I contacted the chief executive officer of Boeing Company. His name is Mr. McInerney, and I asked for some contact from him. And further, I said I'd really appreciate a letter notarized with his signature assuring me that there's no QRS-11s installed on Boeing airplanes. The fact is, in the period 2000 to 2003, illegal modifications were performed on Boeing aircraft. The time of that, 2000 to 2003, surrounds the events of 9/11. And just last year, 2006, Boeing paid a record corporate fine of $615 million for illegal modifications of Boeing.
Okay, now let's talk a little bit, Field, if we can, and I'll bring you, David, back in just a second here. What are you alleging? Are you alleging that there are explosives aboard these planes and that they can be remotely detonated?
Boeing company itself has acknowledged that they have explosives in the doors. That's contrary to the government regulations as per BATF, which is the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, and it used to be, and explosives.
Now, what do you mean they have explosives in the doors?
Well, they, as part of the emergency door opening feature, there are some, and I presume originally there were very small charges, but there are some explosive charges just to make the doors open up in case of a ground evacuation. But it appears that they've got some more explosives on the airplane. And I'm not a hard guy to get along with, but I think if anybody that's charged with the responsibility of a $125 million airplane and 420 people, I think if they raise a question, they're deserving of an answer. And here it is 3.5 months, and I've had no answer.
Sure. Now, Field, do you still fly for Northwest?
No, I electronically retired Monday of this week, and I don't know if my retirement that I requested will be approved, but either way, I'm retired.
All right. Now, I'm sure you have talked with some other crew members about this, about these allegations. What do other pilots say about this?
Well, most of the other pilots really haven't studied the problem too much, and it's very easy to dismiss because it's incredible to pilots that anybody with authority, that would be the airline company, the union, or Boeing itself. It just seems unlikely that there would be airplanes with these anomalies deployed. But there's no question that they're deployed. Otherwise, Boeing would not have paid a $615 million fine to shut down the Department of Justice investigation into this issue.
All right, David, if this is true, and let me ask you, do you believe this is true? Why? Why is this going on?
Well, the explosives, it's a little bizarre. The wording of the chief, the financial officer, Mr. Bain, in a presentation to the board after all the scandals.
He's with Boeing, right?
That's right. He said, and this is a quote from memory, there is an almost explicit prohibition by the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, and as Field says, the E, that is explosives, seems to have gone missing from that acronym, against explosives on board. And may I remind you, Mr. Bain says to his fellow directors, that every Boeing commercial aircraft is fitted with explosives in the actuators or associated in the actuators behind the doors.
Now, would one assume, though, that's necessary to blow the doors in an emergency?
Well, this is where it's left totally open. You see, I'm an ex-safety officer with a lot of expertise in building explosive devices, and you don't make assumptions when you're playing with this stuff. And now, that was a statement. It's an open source statement. People can Google for that. So there's no denying he said it, but he doesn't explain why it's put there. Now, we can be left to make assumptions about what that might be done for. And I suppose one is, if there was a physical hijacking and the plane was landed in an emergency, probably remotely, and it was to be a SWAT team was supposed to go in, well, maybe they'd want to blow off the doors so they could have an instantaneous
access
to the hijackers. But again, to put explosives on and not explain why is a very arbitrary treatment of the pilots. I mean, they take on the fiduciary responsibility of flying these things, and most pilots are not aware there are explosives on board.
Well, it is a little unnerving to assume that there are some explosives on these planes, even if they may be small, to blow a door off. What happens, God forbid, Field, if these things detonate accidentally while the plane's up 30 or 40,000 feet?
Yeah, I'm not trying to heighten the alarm level here, but I think if the explosives were limited to small explosives just to cause a door handle to blow open and the door to open, I doubt if that's going to be harmful. But if there's other explosives aboard the airplane, and David and I have some evidence that appears there very well may be. Plus, there's been some incidences, and I would urge you, George, to write down this note. Adam, A-D-A-M, Adam Air 574. And Adam Air 574 was destroyed over some water near Indonesia on the 1st of January of 07. And that is exactly 3 weeks from the day that I raised the alarm of the explosives and the QRS-11 gyro chip. And it's my assertion that those two tools, the gyro chip and explosives, is what brought down Adam Air.